So we are going to ask for your attention for the next 45 minutes. We'll start by, is it okay or like that? Okay. And this is pretty typical. So we have 99.9% here and three guys sitting over there. Like, is that okay if we face? Okay. It's not that you're not pretty, they're just more important. Okay, so welcome to this session here, which we have chosen to call a user group story. My name is Kent Akerlund from Denmark, and on stage with me I have my fellow partner in crime.
Ronnie Petersen. I'm also part of the System Center user group in Copenhagen, so yes?
Yeah, so the goal of this session here, we were asked if we could tell our story, and of course we wanted to do that. We have, I mean, Ronnie and I, we are speaking, we've been speaking for the last 10-15 years, and this is probably the first time we are doing a non-technical session, so that's kind of a challenge, but I'm pretty sure you know that. But we want to tell our story about how we are running, how we founded this user group, how we keep on running it, how we treat our sponsors and partners and ecosystem around the user group. And then we also want to kind of hear what kind of challenges you have, those of you who are running a user group, and see if we can turn this into a discussion so we can help each other. Because we are not competitors in here. I mean, we're all friends. So that's kind of the purpose of this session here.
Before we start, by a raise of hand, how many of you are already running user groups today? Most of you?
Most of you. Yeah.
How many of you are planning to start a user group? None of you?
No, there's one.
One?
So if we can just start one user group, this has been a success.
Yes, so mainly we are here for you. So
you raised your hand.
Yeah.
It's too late. Mr. Chairman, we'll take it after. So welcome to this session here, and I just want to give you, or we want to give you, a kind of a brief history introduction to our group. So our group was founded back, Ronnie and I, we had a meeting.
At MMS,
the old Microsoft Management Summit, back in 2008. And we're kind of just having a discussion because we saw all these great speakers, and none of them would ever come to Denmark. So it was literally, how can we make sure that all the client management folks in Denmark who cannot afford, or for whatever other reason, cannot go to Las Vegas and attend MMS? That was kind of the idea. Yeah. The first thing we did after saying, okay, let's do this, this is kind of a good idea, was to write down our vision. And that is super important. Having a vision and a strategy, no matter what you do, if you're running a company, no matter what you do, is super critical. And our vision from the beginning is what we have up here. The main goal is to help administrators and IT pros design, deploy, and manage IT solutions using Microsoft technologies. That's a broad vision. We haven't changed it, as a matter of fact, because it was very broad at the time. And this is still the vision that we look for when we are dealing with sessions and community days. Ingredients in order to be successful, for us at least, as I said, you need to have a clear vision and a strategy when you go on a journey like running a user group. And we just had a discussion earlier on today, Ronnie and I. If you don't have a clear vision and a strategy when you take on a journey, you're just one person or maybe two persons, going for a walk. You might have a good time, but you don't really know, your end goal. You don't know why you're walking around in the forest. You might have fun for half a year, but after that, it will just, vanish. So that was really important to us. We will come into some of the subtopics. And then also realize that you are in the business of selling. And I know this is a community. Ronnie and I, we're both, doing a lot of free time work here. but we are in the business of selling. We need to sell our idea to the ecosystem. We need to sell our idea to the attendees, figure out what they want to, why and how we can bring them in to our meetings. We need to sell the idea to Microsoft, because Microsoft is a very important partner. But we also need to realize that Microsoft is not the only partner, because it's not a Microsoft roadshow. And even though we like and love Microsoft, we will not allow them to control our user group, and that's very important. And then when we are in the business of selling, we also need to be able to, you know, be super easy to find. We made a couple of mistakes in the beginning. We've made a lot of mistakes. If you don't make mistakes, you don't do anything, right? So that's maybe rule number one,
yeah.
You know, make mistakes. Don't be afraid. And then speakers, of course. Finding good speakers. We just had a meeting the last hour and a half that really was around finding good speakers. And I would say, and as you said, Ronnie, it's super easy.
Yeah.
I mean, when you attend, you said something about the MVP summit.
Yeah, actually, many of the speakers that we are inviting to our user group is actually fellow MVPs that has the same interests as we speak about. So, you know, they are really thrilled to be able to go to different countries and different user groups to share their knowledge. Some of the travel expenses that we also talked about at the previous session that we had today is mainly covered by having different user groups with the same topics in different countries sharing all the expenses. Actually, the first time that we actually started this user group, our first guest was actually Wally Mead, that at the time worked for Microsoft and was a high-profiled program manager inside of Microsoft. And we actually got a deal with, I think it was the Finnish user group and the Belgian user group and actually the British and Estonia and all kind of user group. He actually ended up by traveling around Europe for 2 weeks before flying to Tegged in South Africa. But because of that, he was traveling to Europe anyway because he needs to do the layover in Europe before flying to South Africa. So we actually just said, okay, we will do our user group at that time, the meeting at that time, and then we will share all the cost between the user groups inside of Europe. And that actually reduced our cost. And that's basically the model that has founded how we found speakers afterwards. So the next user group that we have is in August. And the two main guest speakers that we will have in August is actually flying into Europe to attend or actually speak at the, what is it called now? System Center User Group, but it's not, it's called something else?
Yeah, and I'm speaking there and I forgot it. It's
okay.
Used to be System Center Universe.
Yeah.
It's called something else.
Export Live, yes.
And I should have known that.
Probably, yeah. But they are flying into Europe anyway, so we can get them kind of cheap. And so basically, that's how we're doing it. The last few years, we have also talked to program managers, and actually, like, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago, maybe a month, at our last user group, we had a program director coming in from Redmond. Speaking at our user group, and it was one of the best user group that we ever had. So basically, we just ask them if we can pay for their tickets, they are more than willing to come and share their knowledge.
Yeah, you know that yourself. I mean, MVPs, they are kind of crazy, and I'm an MVP myself. I mean, we don't mind, you know, traveling for 10 hours just to go on stage and speak for 45 minutes and then travel 10 hours back. It is a little weird,
yeah.
So you might as well just, you know, make use of your network. We have done that, and we haven't had a no in
no.
8 or 9 years, so that's kind of cool.
How many of you are using speakers from other countries when you are planning your user group events? Not so many of you.
No.
Is that related to language, or is it related to cost of flying these people in? Because of cost. Okay, so if we can solve the cost issue, then we can actually help you guys. Is that what I'm hearing? Okay, we'll get to that.
Yeah, I would say, especially the user groups here in Spain, you should have no issues flying guys in from Scandinavia. I mean, we will even cover our own costs.
Yeah.
So that's not a problem. So as I said in the beginning, having a clear vision and a clear strategy, that is important. That has been important for Ronnie and I since the beginning. So our vision, that's also what we have on our website when we had our website.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, to help people, IT pros, admins with issues that they have today. At the same time, we also have a strategy that we haven't told anyone else before now.
I'm looking forward to hear this.
we also want to take our members on a journey that prepare them for the world of tomorrow. So what we mean by that is we want to deliver sessions that, you know, they might not be dealing all of them, you know, with modern IT or some of the new fancy stuff that Microsoft talks about at Ignite, but it's not really implemented yet. But we also want to give them our vision or our view on that. So how can you get started? No, you don't have to do, you know, a big bang where you replace your entire data center with whatever solution you have just seen on Channel 9. So that's another strategy that we have. So we always, when we plan our agenda, we plan our agenda so we meet our vision and also meet our strategy. And it's not really rocket science. It's just, you know, we have kind of the same template every single time. And we wrote down this vision and strategy. I don't know if it was in Vegas, because what happens in Vegas, can't remember. But we quickly agreed that, hey, this is what we want to do. That's not the same as, you know, we're not changing because the entire world around us is changing, but that's still what we want to do. We don't want to please a specific group. We don't want to please Microsoft. We don't want to please a specific sponsor. We just want to, you know, do what we think our attendees want us to deliver on.
Yeah, but when we say we don't want to please Microsoft and we don't want to please our sponsors, that doesn't mean that we don't want to work with them, because of course over the last 10 years we have been moving in different direction, just twisted a little bit in order to get this group where it is today. So at some point, as you know, you can see we call it the System Center user group. So we started out working only with the client stuff, and then we also added some of the System Center and data center stuff into the user group, and we had split meetings where half of the day was client focused and half of the day was data center focused. That kind of, you know, turned out to be a bad idea, because, you know, people had to travel the same amount of time. And then we moved to another model where we had a full day of client, and then 2 months later we had a full day of only data center. So the people traveling in were only focusing on data center. But we were also focused on, you know, what is actually triggering Microsoft. And what are their goals? Not because we want to please them, but because we want to make sure that if we should get something from them, that could be food, it could be money, it could be anything, we need to be aligned with their interests. And that also go with the sponsors.
With the sponsors, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's we wouldn't be here without the sponsors. The sponsors wouldn't be there without us. And I mean, Microsoft is in the middle, and they're super important. So when I'm saying we don't want to please someone, it's like we don't want to be told what we should say. No one should come and say, I need you to deliver 10 sessions on Azure, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't work that way. We are an independent group.
Yep.
And that's also the reason why we are running this, you know, for the ninth year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
A good example could be our last user group a few weeks ago. The main thing that Ken and I are working with is the Enterprise Mobility Suite and identities and all that stuff in June. But the team that normally helped us with getting money for food and stuff like that were actually out of money for the rest of this year. But the Windows team, they were actually able to do some sponsoring. But they said, you know, if you want us to sponsor this event, you have to bring in some kind of Windows 10. Okay, and that's all they said, you know. The only requirements they had is you have to include Windows 10 as part of one of your sessions. And that's very close to what we are working with, so we didn't feel like we were giving up of our values here. We were just helping this this guy from Microsoft of getting his message out and reaching his budget, but we were still really loyal to our vision and our user group members and ourselves.
Yeah, and it took 60 seconds, and then we had a speaker from Sweden,
yeah,
who happily drove in, even though he had to be at a bachelor party.
Yeah.
So he was like, I have to get off stage now because I have to be at a bachelor party, so I have to go back to Malmö, and then the bachelor party was in Copenhagen,
actually,
right,
yes,
next to the venue. So that was kind of funny.
But
so,
that kind of stuff, you know, like Ken said, you know, we are crazy. We would do anything to get some time on stage.
Yeah. So as I mentioned here, the ingredients for us needed to be successful is the vision and also consistent. When you are on stage, especially when you run the first couple of meetings, it's so easy to be carried away and, you know, say, hey, we're going to do this every month, and next month we will, you know, there will be free beers and everybody will get a car and blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, you wake up the day after and you realize, ooh, Jew, I don't have the time, I don't have the budget. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that you don't have. So you need to figure out what works for you and what works for us. Or what works for your, you know, someone else in Norway might not be the same that works for you. We can say that we quickly realized what actually works for Ronnie and I in Denmark. That is, we have full day events. So we have 4 or 5 per year. When we have the first event every year, we will say, okay, these are the dates that we have for the rest of the calendar year. That is super important. It's super important for the attendees, but it's also important for the sponsors, because the sponsors, they need to make a budget, and you can't just come running to a sponsor, you know, 2 weeks before and expect them to pay like 8,000 euros. It doesn't work that way. But if you give them a year, they can actually put it in the budget because they do have money. So don't make promises you can't hold. I've seen a lot of user groups being like, you know, had maybe 1 or 2 meetings, and then they just die off. It's way better to have one, you know, per quarter or something like that.
How many of you guys are actually working with sponsors for your user groups? Not many of you.
So
the rest of you, what you need money for, is that correctly assumed that that's mainly food and maybe venues? Yeah. So what do you do today? Do you contact or try to get sponsors for each event, or do you plan and create a strategy that will actually sponsor events for the entire year, or maybe even more than that?
Mirko is nodding, yeah.
Yeah, so I have some like package to go to stages that's sponsoring for a full year.
Yeah.
So it's the best thing I have seen for me.
Yeah. And what made you do that decision? Why did you change to that model with the sponsoring?
I just started with that model. I asked some sponsors before I started sponsoring model to sponsor just one event. But they said, yeah, but that's not really working, just one event. So can we do a full year or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, then I started creating a package.
Yeah. So that's really cool. How many of you guys are charging for the user group events?
You have a sponsor, but you're from Switzerland. I mean, you literally you bathe in money every morning, right? You have all your gold and. Okay, so we have been touring a lot of different user groups in Europe and also in the States, and I know some they're hosting like a monthly meeting, 2 hours after hour, and that works for them. I like what they're doing in Holland. They're doing a hybrid, like, you know, the rest of the world. So they have some on-prem meetings. I think it's like 3 or 4 times a year. And then they have two online meetings where they invite a speaker in or 2 speakers in, and they have like 2 hours after hours there where they just present that. And that's kind of a neat mix. I know they get attendees from all over the world.
Yep.
But you have to be consistent. And you don't get carried away. It's so easy when people are saying, hey, you're doing a good job, and you forget your brain and you forget, you know, there is a day tomorrow. And then define your touch points. And for those of you who are not familiar with, you know, the term a touch point, it's typically something we use when we say, okay, When is it that you trigger a customer to, you know, make a buy? When is it the customer goes like, ah, I cannot live without that solution? You can turn that into you know, something you also have and work with when you're planning your user group event. So what we know, our touch points, we know our attendees, they really love when they can meet with someone and they can talk about real issues. You know, not something that happens, you know, over here, but something that happens in their environment. They wanna be, you know, able to have one-on-one time with some public faces, someone, you know, that are well known. It can be a little overwhelming when they all of a sudden they stand in front of you mentioned Wally Mead, who yep. was back there. He was like a rock star. And then he's just standing there and answering your questions. I mean, that's really a touch point for our attendees. See some great speakers, that's always important.
Yep.
But seeing some great speakers is not the same as it has to be an MVP. It has to be someone from US, because when you come from US, you gotta be super smart. A great speaker can also be, you know, a local speaker. So I know last time we announced that at our next meeting, we wanna have 4 local speakers that are just delivering a 10 or 15 minute session each about some cool stuff that they have either developed or done at their work. And during the session, we already got 2 volunteers, so we just need 2 more.
Yeah.
So a user group meeting, I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, someone famous. It
no.
can also be, as I said, a local one. The most important thing is it's you got to be trustworthy, and that's why we said we don't want to, you know, we don't want to bow to anyone. We don't want to be told what we have to say on stage. That's also why this group is working, because there's a reason Ronnie and I, we are standing so far from each other. We are competitors.
We actually hate each other.
So when we're not on stage together, when we're not doing, you know, user group meetings, we are diehard enemies out there. And that works pretty well, because if I try to bring, you know, too many of my colleagues in, Ronnie, he will raise his finger and say, Kent, we don't want to turn this into a CT Global show. And that's totally respectable. And I just step back and say, hey, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And I will, of course, do the same. And that I think, talks to the fact that, you know, we are delivering what we call trustworthy communication. It's not a Microsoft sales show. It's not a CT Global sales show or an EG sales show or whatever. I mean, we are pretty true to what we say.
I think it's very important, especially, I would assume, I might be wrong, but many of you that are running user groups are most likely also consultants, right? Is that right, raise of hand?
Yeah.
And so trustworthiness, you know, are you trying to share a message? Are you sharing to the community? Or basically, are you just trying to gain new customers? And in order to do that, I think it's very important that you partner up with different community experts, so then you make sure that there's a lot of people that are saying different things at your events, because otherwise it will just be a one-way street, and that's not what we're looking for to
nope.
be a success.
Nope. I know one group in Minnesota, they have 12 people on the board. I'm like, are you crazy? I mean, 12 people to run a group, but that's just because they want to make sure that you know, they come from all places, all over. But still, I would hate 12 people. That's almost like a political.
I think
party.
It's something to do with the U.S. numbers. You know, it has to be with a dozen.
Yeah. So if we look at a typical meeting, then you have all seen an agenda before. That's not anything new. But when I look at it here, if I highlight the first session we have here with Ronnie, then that follows our strategy. We want to show something new. We want to take our audience on a, you know, on a journey on what they can expect, so they know how to prepare themselves for, you know, the life of tomorrow. Then we don't have bricks. We have, you know, what we call networking, because we want to encourage people to meet, you know, one-on-one, go down there and talk to the speaker, talk to, you know, your fellow user group attendees, and so on and so forth. The second session, which is, you know, Config Manager, that's something that has been around for like 25 years. So here we are dealing with real world issues. So again, that talks to our vision and our strategy. And then this day was a little special because we had David James coming over, and he's a big rock star at Microsoft, especially when we talk enterprise client management. So he was literally on stage for like 2-3 hours. And I think the first question he has is like, is this being recorded? Nope. Okay, cool. And then from there on, it was just, you know, an awesome session.
Yeah.
Showing a ton of stuff, not necessarily super technical, but showing a ton of stuff and telling everybody, so how is it that we build a system like Intune? How do we build a system like SCCM or Configuration Manager? And that was like super interesting.
It was really, I'd like to add a comment to that, to the recording part. We have been talking back and forward for a long time, you know. Should we stream this? Should we put this online? Should we record it and put it on Channel 9? And there's a lot of good points in doing that. First of all, Tina and all the other MVP leads are really hammering our heads, you know, put something on Channel 9 because probably they will get a raise or something if we do. But the problem is, and Kent actually came with a very, very good point at our discussion earlier today, is that we sometimes have customers or that are in the audience that are working in very, let's call them restricted.
Funny business.
Funky businesses, yes. And, you know, that might keep people from holding back their questions because they don't want to be recognized if they work for, you know, the police or whatever, and they, you know, kind of unintentionally are saying something about the environment that they're working with. And also the people that we get on stage, it doesn't really matter if it's from Microsoft or it's MVPs or others, it kind of holds them back because they don't want to say anything unless they are absolutely sure about it, and they want to be sure that they're not breaking any NDAs. But at least our experience is that if you have Microsoft in a room like this, you know, we feel like we're all friends. You know, we can keep a secret. So if they tell something, especially from Microsoft, you know, they tend to open up and make the conversation much more dynamic and interesting.
Yeah, we had one good example is we had one who is managing a 400,000 client environment for a large bank in the US. And he was like, so guys, do you want to see me doing this in a production environment? And everybody was like, yeah, 400,000. We have never seen that in Denmark. I mean, I don't even think we live 400,000 in Denmark. so he was doing that for 2 straight hours. And at one point, he was like, holy cow. And I think he clicked something he was not meant to click. And he would never, ever have been able to do that if it was recorded.
No.
So we will not record our meetings because it kind of, you know, kills, you know, the talks we have, and also the willingness amongst the speakers to speak freely and demo stuff.
And there's also another thing. We live in a small country, you know. In Denmark, you can basically travel from one end of the country to the other end in a car for less than 4 hours. But if we do everything online and everything will be available the next day, what is the motivation to actually drive 4 hours and show up at the meeting and be part of the conversation if I can just sit back at home and watch the recording? So
yeah,
that works for us. Maybe if you work in a if you operate in a country like Germany or France or even Spain, where the travel distances are much longer, the story might be different. But for us, that works the best.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then. Then, as we said, we quickly realized that we are in the business of selling. You have to realize that. And there is nothing wrong in, you know, saying, hey, we sell stuff here. We just need to define our ecosystem. And we need to sell our group to the attendees. So we need to tell them, and we always start our meetings by saying, how can you engage? How many are new in this meeting? How many are attending for the very first time? And even after 9 years, we still get like...
5, 10.
Yeah, at every single meeting. So they need to be told, you know, how can you, you know, what about your questions? Your questions are super important. We don't have all the answers, but we know we're going to treat all of your questions with respect, no matter what question that you might have. So ask your question, don't hold them back. And again, after a couple of meetings, they realize that, hey, we are almost like one big family, yeah. Might be. But it, I mean, people feel comfortable, and that's really the goal here. When you feel comfortable, you don't mind making mistakes. So you don't mind saying, hey, we just had a session 2 weeks ago at MMS. We called it the Anonymous Administrators Group. So everybody would have to stand up and say, hey, my name is Kent. I'm an IT admin for 20 years, and this is what I've done. And then people would actually say that, hey, I brought down all of North America on my second day of work. They only say that when they feel comfortable. So we are trying to sell that, you know, feel comfortable in here. Nobody will laugh at you. We have all made mistakes. Yeah. And that's really important.
Also make sure that you tell your attendees that this actually has a cost. We know exactly how much the event costs per attendee. So when we tell people that they can just sign up for free, and they sign up but don't show up, we actually are going to pay for that anyway. So we are making a lot of, you know, time and effort in explaining our users that, you know, if you sign up for the event, we really expect you to be there. Otherwise, please go in and sign off if you can't come. So that's something that, especially in the early days, where we had maybe events where 130 people were booking our user group, but only 100 showed up, and we had a huge cost for food for those last 30 people.
Yeah.
So that was something that we started to hit on and actually hit very hard. So if you want to save that hard-earned money that you have in your user group, please make sure that you're aware of telling your users that it's not free to stay away.
Every attendee not showing up is actually costing us around 50 euros.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So we do treat all of our attendees with respect. We don't talk down to the attendees. I don't know if that's a Danish phrase maybe, but I mean, we treat everybody. We are all equal, and also, I mean, among all the attendees, there are probably many, many, many people there that are way smarter than you are. So, I mean, it's not a competition. It's not about showing off. It's about helping each other. Being easy to find, we are using Meetup. And we're using Meetup because it's so super easy. Ronnie and I, believe it or not, we are extremely lazy. If we don't have to work, we are not going to work. And maintaining our own custom website, that's a lot of work. So Meetup is kind of a blessing for the both of us.
Yep.
Because, I mean, it's geared towards, you know, hosting a user group meeting. So in there, people can sign up, they can upload pictures, they can read the agenda. I mean, everything is gathered in there.
We have a question.
Yeah. How you solve the problem with Meetup that don't give you the email of your customer or
the attendee list?
Yeah.
You can actually the email address. We don't have solved it, but why do we need the email address?
Usually, if you have a sponsor, usually you need the email.
Yeah, see, that's a good one because, so we're dealing with sponsors at every single meeting, and I'm also involved in sponsors at larger conferences, and sponsors are like kids. I mean, they will just come and they will, you know, take everything from you, and when they have taken everything, they will take even more from you. And they're always asking about the email list. What we're saying is, we are not going to give you the attendee list, because in order for us to do that, we need to ask for attendee approval, and we haven't done that. But what we will
that's by law in Denmark.
Yeah. What we will give you is the opportunity to, come up on stage, tell the audience who you are, have a booth, you know, have a drone or a Surface Pro or something that we raffle away at the end of the day, and have everybody come over and give their business card. And all of our sponsors for 9 years has accepted that.
Yep.
But they will all start by saying, "Ah, but if I don't get that," and they will cry and blah blah blah. Yep. You know the drill.
But by the way, we love sponsors. But we actually came from Eventbrite and then moved over to Meetup, and at Eventbrite we actually had that opportunity. So yeah. But luckily we live in a country where we can just blame the law and say we're not allowed to do so.
Usually we also solve having a difference at the registration on site. And expressly sign for the private whatsoever.
Yeah. But like Ken said, you know the audience are also suckers for swag.
Yeah.
So if you have something that you can, we actually had these name signs and said, put your name and email address. We will hand that over to the sponsors, and then you'll have T-shirts and bags, and we even gave away Xboxes and stuff like that that came in as sponsorships, and people would.
We have done that a couple of times, because we are going to tell you about our sponsor program. But then we will say to the sponsor, so you know what, you're not going to be there. Can we represent you? Can we be you for that specific day? And then we will somehow collect.
But
we will set up a
honestly, we highly encourage. We actually. More than that, we want our sponsors to be part of the event, and we our sponsorship is a little bit. We also run sponsorship per year, and we have these four events, and they will be able to do a full presentation at one of these events. But we highly encourage them to be at every single event, to get the exposure, and it's also important for us to actually call them and make sure we have this user group. I know that you're not speaking at this event. But we really want you to be there. So we are still, top of mind when they are making the budget for the next year. And we want to make sure that they are gaining the value, because if they don't get any value, they won't sponsor us next year. Yeah. And I think that the only way to really do that is to make sure that they actually do get some speaking slots and some visibility. And
it's all about honesty. So we have been on stage many, many times telling our user group members, we need the sponsors. Because if we don't have any sponsors, you will have to pay.
Yeah.
And we won't be able to fly in speakers and stuff like that. So you better be here when the sponsor is delivering a session. You better engage with the sponsors. What we will go back and tell the sponsors is that don't bring on a sales talk, because our user group members don't like that.
Yeah.
So you're solving an issue. Sell that, be technical, explain what you're solving, demo. We don't want to see 75 slides, we want to see a demo, but we also want to understand where you add, value to our market.
And when they are on stage, we also make sure that we take a lot of pictures of the sponsor. Last time we had Adaptiva to sponsor our user group. So we made sure, take a lot of photos, put it on Twitter, make sure that the Adaptiva is tagged in those tweets, So the marketing people, back in
Redmond,
yeah. is seeing this, and they are feeling that they're getting value for their money, because at the end of the day, that's all that this is mattering. Is about.
I mean, it's sponsors. They will, and as I said, I love sponsors. We are sponsoring. My organization is sponsoring user groups ourselves, but. If we can go in, and get a speaking slot in front of 50 or 75 people for just paying for pizzas, that's like stealing, candy from kids. That's for, as a sponsor, you're more than happy because you're just paying for pizza. But for you who's organizing the user group, you don't realize what value you have in there. And that's exactly what Mirko said also. You need to have a program. So we have a program here where we have a gold sponsor, and we do this on a yearly basis. So we will have, because we have four full day events, we will have four gold sponsors. Each of them will be able to get a 30 to 45 minute speaking slot at one event per year. But they can be present at every user group. They can have their booth. They can come. They can introduce themselves on stage and so on and so forth. And normally we have had sponsors here that will, you know, they will already sign the contract next year when they have been on stage, which is, for us, that's really good, because then now we can start planning about next year. We don't have to worry about the money the same way as if we didn't have any sponsors.
And one funny thing is, for a couple of years, we actually had a sponsor that I'm not really sure today what they even did, but they paid year after year, and we never saw them. But at the end of, you know, sometimes they stopped sponsoring us, obviously, because they didn't know what they were getting. So that just means that, you know, if we want to keep our sponsors, we need to make sure that they are also getting value.
Yeah. Plus, we also had a sponsor who wanted to be anonymous.
Yeah.
They just came to us and said, you know what, we are sending five or six persons to every session, and you have four sessions a year, and that's full day. That's like 20 days of training we want to give you. And they gave us what is like 3,000-4,000 euros per year, which is like, that's really nice. So they took that out of their training budget. And you can, if you have the nerves and you see a lot of consultants down there and you know they're working for some of the bigger companies, you know, engage them and say, hey, I mean, you should also be, you know, sponsoring this event. We have done that a couple of times. One of them came back and said, yeah, sure. And then they paid us for a couple of years. So we have the sponsor program. And I think I have, if you want to see the contract here, we took that.
I think you need to get out of presentation mode.
Oh.
I'm not sure. It's coming. Windows peel to højre.
Damn it.
Venstre.
Can we see it? No? Just going to...
Oh!
There you go.
Word.
So I managed to do that. So we now I'm just going to show you the gold partner agreement that we have. The most important thing and the interesting thing here is, you know, what is it that we will give you? And we don't sell our soul in here. We give you a speaker slot at one user group meeting per year. And they that's enough for them. They don't want to be at every single user group meeting speaking for 60 minutes because they might not have enough stuff to present. And then we will introduce them. We will have their logos. We will do all the other stuff in here. But just having this contract, you know, half a year in advance is all it takes. And then, of course, we'll also have a silver package and a bronze package. And the bronze package will just be, you know, so you have your logo up there and you're telling the local community that you're supporting the community.
And these marketing departments that you need to reach out to actually get this sponsorship, they are working with different conferences and events, and they are used to working, you know, with professional people. So when we say we run our user group as a business, this document is also something that when you send this document to a new potential customer as a contract, it really, you know, sends the signal that, you know, these guys know what they are doing. You know, they have, you know, everything settled down in a contract, and all we need to do is to sign that, pay the money, and, you know, we feel like we are trustworthy to them. So I think that's also an important part, you know, to be professional and know and understand that they are there because they need to make some business, and they need to know that what we are delivering is actually adding value to them.
And it might sound like a ton of work, and if Tina is listening, who's my local lead, of course it is a ton of work. But once you have the template, then it's actually, you know what you're doing, and if you stay true to that, then it gets easier and easier and easier. You still have to fight all the sponsors. You still, you know, there's still stuff in there, but it gets easier. We already addressed the speaker stuff. One thing we try to, you know, tell our speakers, it's never about you. You don't have to prove that you're smart. We already know you're smart. It's about the attendees, right? So, and that's also the key thing about being an MVP. It's never really about us. You are smart, otherwise you wouldn't be an MVP. So it's about the one that you're helping out.
We need to speed up.
Yeah, we need to speed up. So what's next? This is the last slide. We kind of just, you asked that question in the beginning. If any of you want to have any help at all, you know, starting your user group and or talk more about how we run this user group, just, you know, come up to us.
Or maybe if you want to talk more about, you know, how to find and target the right potential sponsors and, you know, how to contact and how to engage with them, we will also be happy to help with that.
Yeah. And then one of the things we're going to do in late 2017 or early 2018, now we're not going to make promises we can't keep, but that is see if we can somehow, together with some of the other European user groups, host what we call a global European virtual user group day. We just need to find, you know, stuff like the platform, the speakers, the form, the dates, and so on and so forth. But if you're interested in that and say, hey, that sounds like a great idea, and you want to work with Ronnie and I on that, you know, just reach out to us. Okay, was that our?
And we'd really like to engage as many user groups in the community as we possibly can.
Yeah.
So that's the plan.
And that's the only thing we have for now. So we don't know anything else. But that's that's like the idea.
But most likely it will be something like a virtual event where we can stream it on, let's say, Channel 9. And maybe even pre-record the events a few days ahead and then make sure that everything is ready. And all you have to do is to be ready for your own sessions after they have been streamed and be ready for Q&A. And hopefully that would also, you know, help promote all your user groups in other countries and maybe expose you so you can get international sponsors.
Yep. That was our 45 minutes of fame.
Yep.
So hopefully you.
Any questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a question. How do you deal with the non-shows?
We don't.
Yes. See, we
put a picture on the slide and the company and the phone. No, no, we don't.
So we have especially a couple of years ago, we were telling everybody who showed up. You can't blame them because they are here. But we are telling them, we are very, you know, straightforward when it comes to, when you don't show up, it costs us 50 euros. And once in a while, we have the no-shows, we just have the badges, and we just make sure that everybody can see their name so when they walk by. So we have like a wall of shame,
yeah.
but it's so, super annoying.
But we also do, let's say we have an event with 80 people signed up. We know for sure that somebody is not showing up. And
what's the ratio more or less because in our events?
10%.
And now it's at 50%.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Okay. So we did at one point we did discuss, we have never had 50%, but we did discuss should we invoice them. And then we looked at each other and I was like, Ronnie, you're super lazy, I'm super lazy. I don't wanna do that.
No.
Because then we need to we need to have a bank account and we need to, you know, what if they don't pay? And that's just a ton of work, yeah. Right? So, yeah, question?
To help with that, we had those no-shows as well. We had like 50 or 60% not showing up.
Oh, that's a lot.
And so what we...
How much?
So what we've done...
Oh.
We are now back to almost 99% that shows. So that's good.
Yeah.
Meaning that you will never be admitted to our meetups anymore, because you
We plan to do the same thing, and I actually started doing it because Meetup actually supports that.
Yeah.
But then I got lazy again. But one of the things that that we have done when we register people, we give them, like Ken said, you know, our events for the rest of the year is always already public. Right now we have 75 people signed up for our event in August, and we will probably hit around 100 because it is many of the same people that are attending. What I do is, 1 week before the event, I actually go into Meetup and make sure that I send out a reminder to everybody and say, okay, this is next week. I usually do that on a Friday. Our meetings are almost always on a Friday. So I send it out Friday before. And then Tuesday is where I have to do the final booking of catering. And what I experience is that most of the people that don't show up will actually then go in and deregister or, you know, mark that they won't be showing up. And that has saved us a lot of money. So that will come down, that will remove most of the people that are normally no-shows.
And that's so super easy when we have Meetup, because Meetup really helped that.
Yeah.
People can go in and say, oh, I won't be attending. So I don't know if you, are you using Meetup?
Yeah, okay.
We actually did one thing. We just never spoke about that in public, but since we're all friends. So when we did Eventbrite, we knew who were not showing up because it was always the same people. So we actually had two lists because we also knew that our user group would be selling out.
Yeah.
So we were like, we're going to send this out to the good guys first. Those are the ones attending. So we sent that out, and then maybe 2 days later or 3 days later, we would send it out to the ones, you know, with the yellow cards.
I think that's only
fair because
we were actually in a situation where when we sent out the email, we would probably sell out in less than 3 or 4 hours.
Even on a Saturday.
Yeah, even on a Saturday. Yeah, that's really scary. But so we made these, you know, unofficial lists. So people that we knew were not coming, we add them to a secondary list. And then we send out the email and let people register. And then we waited for 2 or 3 hours, and then we published it on Twitter. So most of the seats were taken by people that we knew were actually going to show up.
But I love the idea about the yellow card. One, because it's super simple to introduce. It's code of conduct. We all hear, you know, it's a non-profit. It's everybody will nod to that. And then, I mean, it's super easy also to enforce, right?
Yeah, exactly. But actually, when if you use Meetup for the platform and you go in and say this user has a no-show, this actually ends up in the statistic at our event as well. So this is not just, you know, for your event. This is actually following the user. So this is really great.
It helps everybody.
Yeah, it helps everybody. Yeah.
You can easily state it already when you have people signing up. You also have a description of your group. You can even then say, oh, this is a link to our code of conduct.
Yeah.
And it should be something. I mean, it's not being, you know, a sign of us being some bad, angry old guys having a code of conduct. It's, you know, it's just, hey, we will present. We will actually.
We are actually old and ugly, but besides that.
but having a code of conduct, that's just, you know, common sense. So that's one thing we'll take away from this and introduce.
But if you're talking like 50-60% no-show, I would definitely be more dramatic than that. Then I would probably go in and email everybody after the event and say, we had this no-show and this costed us this amount of money. I'm not sure if you can go in and email all the no-shows only, but just email everybody and say, this is a summarize of the event. And, you know, hopefully you can speak to the mind of the people that didn't
We're like 15 minutes overtime, so we need to
we actually need to
this
be in
discussion
a different room
tonight. So thanks for attending here.
Okay.